Will the House come to order? Will the members please indicate their presence by voting? Has any member failed to vote? Would the clerk take the roll?
31 members present.
We have a quorum present to conduct business. Our chaplain today is Pastor Kermit Wilson of the First Church of God. Would the members please rise for the invocation?
May we pray. Heavenly Father, we lift up our eyes to the hills. Where does our help come from? Our help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. Lord, as we face another week, we seek your help, your strength, and your encouragement. We may face many times of discouragement, disagreement, and confusion. May your presence bring the peace that passes all understanding. Father, watch over our fellow Alaskans and grant them health and safety. As we open another week of business, we ask for your guiding presence. Thank you for our legislatures. May they be full of grace and truth, wisdom and understanding. May the business done today be according to your will and for the good of all Alaskans. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Representative Boyer, would you lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Representative Martin.
Mr. Speaker, I'd like to move and ask unanimous consent to prayer be spread on journal.
Are there any objections as to having the prayer spread across the journal? Hearing no objections, so ordered. Would the clerk at this time please certify the legislative journal for the 54th, 55th, and the 56th legislative day?
I certify as to the correctness of the House Journal for the 54th, 55th, and 56th legislative days.
Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move and ask unanimous consent that the House Journals for the 54th, 55th, and 56th legislative days be approved as...
Are there any objections as to the correctness of those journals? Hearing no objections, the journals stand approved. Do we have any guests for introduction today? Representative Mary Miller.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'm very pleased to introduce to you and the body a guest who is here from Briarcliff Manor, New York. She's seated in Gallery A. She is Director of Foreign Languages at Prentice Hall Publishing, and she is cousin to Archbishop Afonsky of Sitka. And I said she is a cousin. And she happens to be the mother of my legislative assistant, and the mother is Marina Lyapunov, and her daughter is Vera Shepherd.
Representative Gail Phillips.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. It gives me great pleasure today to introduce constituents of Representative Navarre and myself in Gallery A, Rodberg and Kent Huther, who are the president and vice president of the Cook Inlet Sports Fishing Association and are here down for the Board of Fish meetings. Help me welcome them.
Representative Sherry Davis.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. It gives me a lot of pleasure to be able to introduce a couple of constituents of Representative Taylor and myself. They're in Gallery B, and if they'd stand as I call their name, Roseanne Dunham, who's the president of the Petersburg Business and Professional Women, Tanya Somerville, who's the secretary of the Petersburg Business and Professional Women, and Nancy Berg, also from Petersburg, who's the president of the Alaska Federation of Business and Professional Women. Please help me welcome them.
Representative Navarre.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. It gives me great pleasure to introduce three constituents of Representative Phillips and mine, who are here from Kenai Central High School visiting for a week here to learn more about their governments, Becky Baldwin, Kim Swarner, and Michelle Gear.
Thank you. Representative Lincoln.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. It gives me also great honor and a real privilege to introduce these five students from Manly Hot Springs and their teacher. I'll begin, and if you could stand as I call your name, the instructor, Teresa Zink. Students, Laura Hollingsworth, Lori Fink, Tampas Woolard, Jeffrey Bretterman, and Marilyn Woods from Manly Hot Springs.
Representative Jackal.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to take this opportunity to have the body help me welcome some friends that are down from the Lake Eliana region here today. From Nundalton, we have Bob Tracy. Please stand, Bob. From Eliana, George Holmberger and Wasa Baluta. And also, we got, Steve Willis. Sorry about that. Thank you.
Representative Parnell, you've been seeking the floor.
Mr. Speaker, I appreciate the time here to introduce my spouse, who is here on what we call Teachers Week, and she's adding a new dimension to the fly-in for teachers, in which she'll fly in and stay over with the legislator. And she's sitting here in Gallery A. This is my wife, Thelma.
Representative Carney.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I have a couple of constituents, Representative Larson and I do, in Gallery B, and there may be a third, but I can't see over there, but Minnie Fisher and Kay Bills from the Matsu Borough. Would you help me welcome them?
Representative Lehman.
Mr. Speaker, I have a guest in Gallery A, and I know she's sitting back there very concerned because it wasn't too long ago that I succeed in embarrassing her daughter on this floor, but she's here not only to defend her daughter, but also to see us in action. A good friend of our family and my daughter Rachel's kindergarten teacher from West Anchorage, Pat Vollendorf.
Representative Baker.
Mr. Speaker, we have some additional guests in from the business and professional women, and I'd like them to stand, please. Dolores Waldron, Alden Waldron, Alicia Musser, and the president of the Anchorage PPW, Ramona Dooley.
Representative Larson.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Speaker. I've been informed that Representative Carney and I have two other constituents, Rosemary McGowan and Bertha Hall.
Representative Ballmer.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Representative Hudson and I also have some BPW members who are in attendance for the fly-in, and they are in Gallery B. Lucille Santos, Kay Krieger, and Colleen Elliott, and I'm sure they'd want me to remind the body that this evening there is a reception for the BPW fly-in from 4:30 to 6:30. Thank you.
Any further guests for introduction? Messages from the governor.
I have none, Mr. Speaker.
Messages from the Senate.
I have none, Mr. Speaker.
It's Monday. Do we have any other communications that come before this body?
The following report is on file in the Speaker's office from the Department of Community and Regional Affairs, the Child Care Program's Fiscal Year 91 Annual Report. I have no further communications.
Okay, this brings us down the daily order of business to reports of standing committees.
The Finance Committee has considered H.J.R. 70, Federal Tax Exemption for Child Care, recommends it be replaced with a C.S. Finance with a new title and due pass. Signed due pass, McLean, Boyer, Brown, Barnes, Jackal, Phillips, Sharp, and Larson, with no recommendation, Navarre. Report was signed by co-chairs Navarre and McLean. H.J.R. 70 has no further referral. The Finance Committee has considered House Bill 155, Barrier-Free Remodeling Fund, recommends it be replaced with a C.S. Finance with a new title, has no recommendations, attaches a zero fiscal note. Signing due pass, Brown, Boyer, Navarre, and McLean. With no recommendation, Barnes, Jackal, Sharp, Larson, and Phillips. report was signed by co-chairs Navarre and McLean. HB 155 has no further referral. The Finance Committee has considered House Bill 326, Teacher Certification, recommends it be replaced with a CS Finance with the same title, and DuPass adopts a finance letter of intent and attaches a fiscal note. Signing DuPass, McLean, Boyer, Brown, Copeland, Jacko, Barnes, Omer, and Navarre, with no recommendation, Phillips, Sharp, and Larson. The report was signed by co-chairs Navarre and McLean. HB 326 has no further referral. The Judiciary Committee has considered House Bill 441, Employers' Liability for Reference Information, recommends DuPass. Signing DuPass, Ellis, Parnell, Miller, Martin, Gruenberg, and Hanley. Report was signed by Vice Chair Gruenberg. HB 441 has no further referral. The Resources Committee has considered House Bill 465, Recycling Solid Waste Management Plans, recommends it be replaced with the CS Resources with a new title, has no recommendation and attached the fiscal note. Signing DuPass, Davidson, Finkelstein, and Moyer, with no recommendation, Carney, Lehman, Hudson, Ivan, and Lincoln. Report was signed by Chairman Davidson. HB 465 has a further referral to the State Affairs Committee. The Hess Committee has considered House Bill 511, Regulation of Home Care Providers, recommends it be replaced with a CS Hess with the same title and due pass and attaches a zero fiscal note. Signing due pass, Davis, Lincoln, Gonzalez, B. Davis, Carney, and Miller, with no recommendation, Hanley. The report was signed by co-chair Lincoln. HB 511 has a further referral to the Judiciary Committee. The Labor and Commerce Committee has considered House Bill 531, Court Appearance Nonprofit Housing Corporation, recommends due pass and attaches a zero fiscal note. Signing due pass, Zawacki, Ivan, Finkelstein, and Donnelly, with no recommendation, Taylor and Bruckman. The report was signed by Chairman Finkelstein. HB 531 has a further referral to the Judiciary Committee. State Affairs Committee has considered SCR 30, Support Open Primary Elections, recommends due pass. Signing due pass, Kabina, Moyer, Bruckman, Baker, Miller, Gruenberg, and Choquette. Report was signed by Chairman Kabina. SCR 30 has no further referral. The State Affairs Committee has considered Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 8, State Affairs Amended, Annuity Program Amendments. Has no recommendation, attaches three fiscal notes. Signing due pass, Kabina, Moyer, and Bruckman, with no recommendation, Choquette, Baker, Miller, and Gruenberg. Report was signed by Chairman Kabina. Senate Bill 8 has a further referral to the Judiciary Committee. I have no further standing committee reports, Mr. Speaker.
Reports of special committees.
The House Special Committee on Oil and Gas has considered House Bill 407, Immunity for Actions Taken Under AS 4613, recommends due pass. Signing due pass, Choquette, Phillips, Zawacki, and Hudson, with no recommendation, Carney. The report was signed by Chairman Hudson. HB 407 has a further referral to the Resources Committee. The House Special Committee on Oil and Gas has considered House Bill 557, Exclude Gas from Certain Oil Regulations, recommends due pass and attaches a zero fiscal note. Signing due pass, Choquette, Carney, Phillips, Zawacki, and Hudson. The report was signed by Chairman Hudson. HB 557 has a further referral to the Resources Committee. I have no further committee reports, Mr. Speaker.
This brings us down to introduction of citations and resolutions.
Citation honoring emergency medical services by Representative C. Davis and Taylor and Senator Jones. Citation honoring Joe Pilcher by Senator Collins. In memoriam, Andrew Leslie Lesnerland by Representatives Kopanen, Moyer, Boyer, Sharp, Gonzalez, Lincoln, M.W. Miller, and Senators Kraft and Frank. And in memoriam, Patrick John Paul Sr. by Senator Eliason and Representatives Grusendorf and Mackey. I have no further citations.
These citations will be referred to the Rules Committee for calendaring.
I have no...
Reading first reference to House bills.
I have no bills for introduction.
Well, then this brings us down into the daily calendar. Would the clerk please read the first item on that calendar?
House Joint Resolution Number 57 by Representatives Boyer, Ulmer, Gruenberg, and Hudson. Requesting the Secretary of Housing and Urban Development to omit Alaska Permanent Fund dividends and Alaska Longevity bonus payments from gross income for purposes of making rent calculations applicable to certain housing assistance programs. The Hess Committee has considered the bill and recommends it be replaced with the CS Hess with the new title and due pass. Signing due pass, Lincoln, Miller, Carney, Davis, Gonzalez, C. Davis, and Hanley. State Affairs Committee has considered the bill and recommends it be replaced with the CS State Affairs and a new title and due pass. Signing due pass, Kabina, Moyer, Bruckman, and Baker. The Finance Committee considered the bill and recommend it be replaced with the CS State Affairs with its new title and due pass. Signing due pass, Omer, Navarre, Boyer, Kopanen, Jacko, and McLean. The with no recommendation, Barnes, Phillips, and Larson. I have two committee substitutes.
Having two committee substitutes, Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move and ask unanimous consent that the House adopt the State Affairs CS for H.G.R. 57.
Are there any objection as to the adoption of the CS State Affairs? Hearing none, that committee substitute has been adopted. Madam Clerk, do you have any amendments upon your desk?
No, Mr. Speaker.
Having no further amendments, and being that it is a joint resolution, Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move and ask unanimous consent the bill be considered engrossed and advanced to third reading.
Are there any objections? Hearing no objections to the motion to advance, would the clerk please give that resolution its third reading?
Committee substitute for House Joint Resolution 57, State Affairs, requesting the Secretary of Housing and Urban Development to omit the Alaska Permanent Fund dividend and the Alaska Longevity Bonus from gross income for purposes of making payment calculations applicable to certain housing assistance programs.
Third reading, under debate. Are you ready for the question? Mr. Minority Leader.
Yes, Mr. Speaker, I do have concerns regarding this legislation in that we currently have had, or I should say over the years, we have had significant debate on this floor as concerns what we call the hold harmless provisions. In essence, what this does is it extends the hold harmless clause or provisions that we currently are utilizing in Alaska law as regards permanent fund dividend payments. It extend those, it asks that those be extended over to the Secretary of Housing and Urban Development to the extent that the additional income received will not be included as a calculation of income by those people residing in low-income housing units. Those people currently receiving subsidized housing, when they receive their permanent dividend fund check, that is included today in their income calculation, and as a consequence, their payment for housing for that month actually goes up. In other words, a portion of the amount that would have been subsidized by the federal government is paid instead by the person renting the apartment because they received the permanent dividend fund check. What we're saying is that additional amount should not be paid and that person's income should not reflect the fact that they received $1,000 or whatever the permanent dividend fund check was that month. I think that's inappropriate, and I think it's sending the wrong signal. In fact, those rentals are supposed to be based under federal law and are in every other state based under federal law on the amount of income that a person receives. And we in the state are asking throughout our departments and agencies that people who utilize those agencies, whether it's school teachers applying for their certification, or doctors or pharmacists applying for their licensure, we say to them, you should pay the cost that the state incurs just to provide you with a license. You should pay the cost for this program and bear that part of the cost. Why should those people not be paying their fair share of the cost when, in fact, they actually have an increased income that month and they actually are supposed to be paying under federal law just like the citizens of any other state are based upon their income? I think we're in essence sending the wrong message, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Lehman.
Mr. Speaker, I have some of the same concerns, and I've raised them before in debate on this floor on the hold harmless clauses, both for the longevity bonus program and the permanent fund dividend program. And I think some of my concerns are starting to come through, especially now when we have such a budget crisis and a way to reduce the general fund expenditures. Even some of those who disagreed with me before are beginning to agree. And in concept, it doesn't make sense. When you have a benefit program like this to discount legitimate income in the calculation. But in this particular case, as long as it's some federal agency paying it, then we say, well, it's somebody else paying it. But I submit that it's no different from the state of Alaska paying it, even though it's just a little bit more distant from us, and it's the same principle. It doesn't make sense to discount the income when you're determining eligibility for a program. So I agree with what my good friend from Wrangell is saying, and unless somebody has some good arguments on the contrary, I plan to oppose this legislation.
Representative Hanley.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I have similar concerns about hold harmless clauses, although normally if we have the opportunity, like in Medicaid programs, to pass on half of the cost to the federal government or a particular portion of the cost to the federal government, I think we ought to take that opportunity to do so, and I think that's what this resolution does, is ask them to not include this in their calculations. If we had the opportunity to exclude other programs, I think I'd probably support that as well in asking that of the federal government. I'm going to support the resolution, although the concept of the hold harmless concerns me, but if the feds did exclude this, it would save us money and hold harmless. Now, if we want to address hold harmless, I'm willing to look at that as well, because I think that does need to be addressed and how we deal with that, but I'm going to support the resolution.
Question. Representative Boyer.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'm not going to speak much on the bill or the resolution, although I thought on the issue of the ALB, the longevity bonus, hold harmless is an interesting issue, because in 1990, the federal government amended the Social Security Act and allowed for a number of things, and some of those were so minor that, in fact, our bureaucracy in the state of Alaska passed over them. And one of the things they passed over was effectively a hold harmless on income calculation of the longevity bonus for the purposes of calculating benefits under the Social Security Act. And we've taken some of those changes and amended the law last year and again this year on the House floor with another piece of legislation. So we picked up some of those, but the benefit this year of our ALB hold harmless is that it drops dead. It drops out of the budget. And so we'll be saving ourselves almost $1.9 million out of the general fund this year that isn't necessary because of 1990 amendments to the Social Security Act that we just inadvertently overlooked, but this year catching, and so that'll manifest in a savings to the general fund this year in the budget. But our congressional delegation has generally been doing a very good job in making adjustments where they can to the federal law, to various federal laws, because of the benefits that we do push through the system, in this case to seniors, but also the permanent fund dividend recipients. And it was our congressional delegation that amended the 1990 Social Security Act with this specific waiver authority to the Secretary of HUD, and it seems that we shouldn't miss the opportunity that has been presented to us by our congressional delegation. They have clearly sold this to Congress, again, it would just be we would be missing an opportunity that they've provided for us in federal law, the 1990 Social Security amendments, and that's the reason why it came to our attention. The resolution was requested by the resident committees of the various homes and facilities, and there are seven of them spread throughout the state. I happen to have two of them in my district, but there are they range from Sitka to Anchorage. There are a number of facilities throughout the state: Cordova, Seward, Sitka, Wasilla, Anchorage, and Fairbanks are where these subsidized housing units are currently.
Is there any further debate on the resolution? Are you ready for the question? The question is, shall committee substitute for House Joint Resolution 57, State Affairs, pass the House? Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? The clerk locked the board. Does any member desire to change his or her vote? Would the clerk tally the board?
32 yeas, 8 nays.
Committee substitute for House Joint Resolution 57, State Affairs, has passed the House. Would the clerk make reference to the next item on today's calendar?
House Concurrent Resolution Number 51 by Representatives Grunberg and Bruckman. designating April 19th through 25th, 1992 as Organ and Tissue Donation Awareness Week, and requesting the governor to proclaim an annual Organ and Tissue Donation Awareness Week. The State Affairs Committee has considered the bill and recommends due pass. Signing due pass, Kubina, Choquette, Bruckman, Baker, Miller, and Gruenberg. I have no committee substitute.
Having no committee substitutes nor amendments at this time, even though I understand there is an amendment coming, and it is a concurrent resolution and second final reading. Madam Clerk, is that amendment ready?
It's being duplicated.
Okay. Well, the concurrent resolution is available for discussion at this point with an amendment pending. Representative Martin?
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Speaker. For discussion purposes, I wonder why the maker of the amendment, and I think he was the one that initiated this concept, did not elaborate on the driver's license. I remember a few years ago, someone did, but I think it's a gentleman before us that allows you to put it on the back of your driver's license, donating your organs, and I've done that. And but there's no indication here in this resolution that I think it should be emphasized. Instead of telling all commissioners to do something, I think that the Department of Revenue or Motor Vehicles could emphasize that like they did in the past. And I'd wonder if he had any history as to how successful it's been.
Representative Taylor.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Speaker. And before the prime sponsor speaks on this issue, the amendment that is being circulated is one of mine, and I had not talked with the former speaker about this, so this is not a team effort here. But like so many of the members, I'm sure, in the body, I have designated on my driver's license organ donor status, and have always had some concerns that unfortunately, it's a little kind of stick-on thing, and it can come off, be lost.
Laminated.
Not only that, you may not have your license with you at the time something occurs. And my concern has been always because of personal and family experiences that I have had with organ donations. My wife's brother is alive today because he received a liver and had that transplant done about 2 years ago in March. And I might add he's doing very well, by the way, and it was almost a miracle kind of situation that they were able to find a liver at the last minute to be able to give to him. He probably is going to be written up in the New England Journal of Medicine because he was the most ill patient, as far as they know, that they've ever done a liver transplant on who survived. And he's doing very well. But my main concern is one of time. Here in Alaska, we are remote, and it is difficult at times to get people to us. But if that information about organ donor could be known very quickly without the state trooper or the emergency room people or the EMTs having to go through a whole lot of folderol to find it out, the faster they can know that, then the faster somebody can be alerted that there is maybe a possible heart coming in, so to speak, or a liver available coming in on an EMT flight where they went out and found somebody and they're just barely perking along and it doesn't look like they're going to make it. This may be available. Then you can alert people and things can happen. And the tragedy in Alaska is that we end up with very little donor things going on because all this has to happen in a matter of minutes, literally, or the organ is no longer viable for transplant. I mean, they can stretch it. I mean, sometimes I guess you get to some hours in it where they can take like a liver or something and they can put it on ice, kind of, and it's good for like 10, 12 hours. They can get it to the place. But if you don't move kind of quick, you can't take advantage of it. And it seemed to me that by putting an amendment like this in, the commissioner could very easily just change the format of our driver's license, put a little check mark in it, but the more important thing would be to have it on their computer so that when they call up and they say, Taylor just bought it, you know, to an airplane wreck or whatever, and we got his body out here, is he one that we can take things out of?
No.
Well, I want them to be able to take things that somebody else could use, eyes, whatever, you know, that might be somehow usable. But the only way that's going to happen is if there's a way of quickly accessing that information. And I know this is just a resolution to to kind of say, let's talk about it for Oregon Donor Week. But maybe it'd be a nice way for the legislature to suggest to the commissioner, try and expedite this if you could.
Okay, Madam Clerk, I'm going to have you refer to Amendment Number 1 and let Representative Taylor move the amendment. Mr. Majority Leader, will the House stand at ease? Will the House come back to order? Mr. Majority Leader?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I've talked with the maker of the proposed amendment, and we're going to redraft this in a little more formal form. I will accept it. I will do it on reconsideration, so it won't be offered today.
Okay, Madam Clerk, would you make reference to Amendment Number 1, and then we'll get a moving?
Amendment Number 1 by Representative Taylor.
Representative Taylor.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Speaker. Pursuant to the comments of the Majority Leader, I will not be offering the amendment and do not oppose the motion to move to second reading. Instead, we'll bring it up under reconsideration. Thank you very much.
Okay. Are there any objection? Amendment Number 1 has been withdrawn. Any further debate on the bill or resolution? Are you ready for the question? The question is, shall House Concurrent Resolution 51 pass the House? Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? The clerk locked the roll. Does any member desire to change his or her vote? Representative, open the rolls for Representative Kopanen. Does any member wish to change his or her vote? Will the clerk tally the board?
39 yeas, 0 nay.
House Concurrent Resolution 51 has passed the House. Representative Taylor?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Speaker. In the spirit of supporting what I consider a strong recycling bill, I'll call for reconsideration on House Concurrent Resolution 51 and serve notice of that. Thank you.
Notice of reconsideration has been given on said concurrent resolution. Would the clerk read the next item on today's calendar?
Committee substitute for House Bill 385, Labor and Commerce amended, an act relating to video display terminals in third reading.
Okay, the bill is before us in third reading and under debate. Is there any further debate? Are you ready for the question? The question is, shall committee substitute for House Bill 385, Labor and Commerce amended, pass the House? Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? The clerk locked the roll. Does any member desire to change his or her vote? Would the clerk tally the board?
21 yeas, 18 nays.
Committee substitute for House Bill 385, Labor and Commerce amended, has passed the House. Some citations, Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. We have 7 citations on the calendar today. I move and ask unanimous consent they be approved. First honor is Palmer Senior Center Volunteers. Second honors Gerald E. Grilly. Third honors Ketchikan Special Olympics Bowling Team. Third honors Michelle Schurig. Next honors Dr. Jack Line. Next honors Wasky Walters. And finally, in memoriam, Ralph James Porter.
Are there any objections as to the adoption of any of the citations on today's calendar? Hearing none, the citations have been adopted. Unfinished business. Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. We have 5 members requesting excused absences. I move and ask unanimous consent the following members be excused from the call of the House. Representative Ulmer from 7 a.m. March 19 to the afternoon plain time March 21. Representative Mary Miller, two occasions from 4:30 p.m. March 27 to the morning plain time March 30, and again from 4:30 p.m. April 3 to the morning plain time April 6. Representative Kopanen from 6:20 p.m. April 16 to the morning plain time, April 21. Representative Mackey on the following occasions from 6:40 a.m. March 10 to the afternoon plain time, March 10. From 9:15 a.m. March 14 to the afternoon plain time, March 15. 4:30 p.m. March 20 to the afternoon plane time March 22, and from 9:15 a.m. April 3 to the afternoon plane time of the same day, April 3. Representative Gonzalez from 7:30 a.m. March 10 to the afternoon plane time March 11.
Are there any objections? Hearing no objections, those members listed off by the Majority Leader are excused in the call of the House on those dates. Mr. Minority Leader?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Speaker. Notice of reconsideration on CS for HB 385.
Notice of reconsideration has been given on House Bill 385. Any further unfinished business? Announcements of standing committees or special committees? Representative Navarre?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The Finance Committee will meet tonight at 5 p.m. for a work session on two budgets, Department of Fish and Game and Department of Natural Resources. 7 p.m. 7 p.m. Sorry.
Any further committee announcements? Representative Davidson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd just like to remind members of the Resources Committee, I don't know if we're going to have a floor session tomorrow, but in the event that we are not, we will meet tomorrow and we'll take up the three water bills as well as the fisheries tax, House Bill 448 and House Bill 505, fisheries allocations, guided sport fishery. And the latter two will be the first hearing for those two bills. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Betty Davis.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Children's Caucus will be meeting at 12 o'clock and 2:05.
Representative Finkelstein.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The Labor and Commerce Committee will be meeting tomorrow at 1 p.m. to hear HJR 18, Supporting Federal Earthquake Insurance, House Bill 437 on naturopathy, and House Bill 337 on licensing of radiologic technologists. Thank you.
Representative Moyer.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. A reminder to the International Trade and Tourism Committee, we will be meeting tomorrow at 5 o'clock to consider HB 490 relating to import-export of fish, game, and aquatic plants, and SJR 41 promoting sports training facilities. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Mr. Majority Leader. Representative Donnelly.
Yeah, the House Judiciary Committee will meet at 2 o'clock today. There's several bills carried over from Friday. HB 483, 484, and 486. And I doubt that we get to House Bill 29 today. We're still waiting for a subcommittee to come back.
Any further committee announcements? General announcements? Special orders? Representative Gail Phillips.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to permission of the body to give a brief Iditarod update.
Are there any objections? Hearing none, proceed.
Thank you. Over half the teams now are, or majority of the teams, are halfway through the race. The race is going fairly well. Right now we have four leaders out of Shaktulik on the coast, so we're going to see a real concerted effort to get a lot of hours in. And of the four leaders, I'm very happy to announce that two are men and two are women. Also, it saddens me to announce that both Joe Runyon and Emmett Peters have scratched the race. They're major contenders, and I'm sorry they're out of it. Thank you.
Any further special orders? Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Move and ask unanimous consent. We stand adjourned until 10 a.m. Wednesday.
10 a.m. Wednesday.